Dear friends, good to see you here today at Bethlehem. Today we're beginning a new brochure. It looks like this, and it's called How to Care About Others. So in this brochure, I'm going to encourage you to ask some key questions of other people, people who are willing to hear those questions, and then eventually you're going to share what I'm calling the Roman Road. So I'll explain more about that as I go here. As I think about the topic today, I was visiting with a person recently, and she was saying over and over she didn't understand how people are able to get through life without a saving relationship with Jesus. I know sometimes my life can be hard, and I'm so thankful I know Jesus. You can probably say the same. What about those people who don't know him? What are they doing with the difficulties of life? Think about it like this. If we know Jesus, now that's not to know facts about Jesus, but to know him in our heart, to have faith in him, to be in relationship with him. When that is true, what is God going to do? God is going to work this desire within us to want to know more about what the Bible says and to want to put the Bible into practice in our lives. So when we know him and desire to live for him, let us know with confidence that in Christ our sins are forgiven. Isn't that great for us? Knowing, hey, we are forgiven. We are heaven bound. We can be at complete peace. We know that God is with us. We know God's going to help us through this life, come whatever. But we also know, though, that there are other people who are not in that same situation, who are not yet members of God's kingdom. Part of the idea of this new brochure, it gives us a way to be able to prove to others that we have love for them and concern for them. Now, are some people going to reject that love and concern? Certainly. But this gives us a way to be able to approach them. And for those who say yes, now we can follow through the contents here, and God the Holy Spirit will be at work through the Word of God, and we pray that God will bring them into his kingdom. I'm going to do the first part of the brochure today, and there will be a lot more to come in the next couple weeks, but I want to touch on these 7 overall steps. So these steps are covering the entire contents of the brochure. So we're going to begin by asking some hopefully thought-provoking questions and then try to establish the source of truth. You know, some people have the idea that what is true is what they think or what they feel, yet we want them to know that this is a source of truth. We need to go to the Bible in order to know that. And then to clarify our problem, all of us have fallen short, all of us have sinned, and because we have sinned, we are helpless. There's nothing we can do to fix our bad situation. People need to know that. If they don't know that, they're going to keep trying and trying to fix it. They need to know of their helplessness and then to be able to explain God's love. It's kind of odd in a sense, but we're going to establish that here we are, rotten sinners. But then on the other hand, though, what's the amazing thing? Though we are rotten sinners, God still loves us, and he loves us so much that he sent his son to take away our sins, even the sins of the world, and then to call them to repent. Sometimes people can get the idea that if we share this truth with them, and maybe even by the grace of God, they come to believe it intellectually, they think somehow, oh, I'm saved. I didn't know that truth before. Now I do know it. Now I must be saved. But we know the Bible is clear that people need to repent. So we'll talk about that in this brochure. And then finally, when people are truly repentant, what's going to happen? Like I've said already, we're going to have this desire to live for Christ. So that's what we have, kind of an overview of this brochure. Let me get into what I'm calling the thought-provoking questions. These are questions I came up with. I'm sure you can probably come up with better ones. But before we ask a single question, though, it's important that we get permission from people. You know, say to them, I really care about you, and I'm wondering, can I ask you a few important questions? If they say no to it, That's fine, let them say no. But maybe if they say no, we should leave the door open. We should say, well, that's okay. If you don't want me to ask you, that's fine. But if you ever want to get into this topic with me, hey, I'm here, and I'd be glad to talk with you about it. So we want to leave the door open. With the questions, though, we could say to people, do you think people continue to exist after they die? When we think about that topic, I think there are plenty of people that are rejecting God, maybe even saying there is no God. Atheism is becoming more and more common in our world today. And then people are kind of comforted thinking, it's going to be okay when I die because there's nothing after that. This life is it. And then question number two, do you believe in the existence of heaven and hell? Some people do, some people don't. If they say no to that, I think about this brochure called Bad News, Good News. It has references to about 35 Bible verses, and really about the first half of them are all the bad news. Now, of course, they might not have much respect for what this brochure says. Maybe we need to go to this one first that's called The Bible is True. A lot of good information in here that can convince people that this book is actually the Word of God. So once they know that, and then if they would go to this brochure, they should be like, oh, I didn't know about all that. And that's going to give them a huge dose of the bad news. That's going to help them understand they are helpless and they are in need. And hopefully they would be open to that. Kind of like the men there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter helped them understand that they had crucified the very Christ. And then they shouted out and said, brothers, what shall we do? I mean, they were in like a panic thinking, we've done a horrible, horrible thing, and now they're open to be able to hear the truth. That's what people need to be. They need to be open to hear the truth. Question three, are you afraid of dying? Thankfully for us who know Jesus, we're not afraid of dying. I've talked on this topic with many people over the years, and I have had people tell me, Pastor, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm a little bit concerned as to what the process might be. We could also say that, but we're not concerned, though, about actually dying, breathing our final breath. We know that in Christ, immediately, we're going to be in paradise. So we don't have to fear anything. It's a great blessing that God gives to us. Where are you headed, we could say to people. Well, the options here are heaven or hell. And then how do you know? Some people are going to say, I just feel like God will let me in, or I think God will let me in. But again, we have to get them back to the Bible to really know the truth. And then we want to ask them for their permission again to be able to continue in the brochure and share some important things. If people would say no at this point, maybe we could just hand them a copy of the brochure and encourage them to read it on their own. Maybe they wouldn't read it right then, but maybe they would pick it up later. If they would say no, we could say, well, that's okay, but if you ever want to continue, I'd be glad to do that. So again, we want to keep the door open. And then going on in the brochure, we want to establish the source of truth. So we all tend to believe what makes sense. And we have this famous quote by Francis Bacon. I think many of you know it already. But he wrote, man prefers to believe what he prefers to be true. So for many people, they have this idea that getting into heaven, we have to be good to get into heaven. And they tend to believe that good will be good enough. So they prefer to believe that, so they do believe that, and they do believe that whatever that means, they think they're good enough, or they're hoping they're good enough. None of that is true according to the Bible, but it makes sense though, so people hang on to it. We could take the quote here from Francis Bacon, we could apply it to all kinds of things in life. Man prefers to believe what he prefers to be true. One key passage in the Bible here is Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seems right. And though it's not in the text, I think the implication here is there is a way to heaven. So there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So we have people coming up with their own idea, they're hanging on to it very tightly, and sometimes they hang on to it all the way to the end, only to find out they were hanging on to the wrong thing. Think about those men that Jesus told us here in Matthew chapter 7 will approach him on judgment day, and they're going to talk about all the amazing things they did in Jesus' name, and Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. They had their own idea. They were so firm on it, and yet it wasn't according to the truth. The Bible is God's written word, and the idea of the Bible, a couple basic things, would be to show us the truth and to give us eternal life. So the Bible is so important. Here in John 17, we have the Son of God praying to the Father in heaven. And what did Jesus say as part of his prayer? Your word is truth. We live in a world today where truth is more relative. Oh, if you think that's true for you, but I have something else, and that's true for me. That's not truth. That's simply trying to make things the way we want them, but it's not the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth is here. Jesus himself said, your word is truth. And then think about what we have here toward the end of the Gospel of John. What he writes about are signs. And that's John's way of talking about the miracles performed by Jesus. So he wrote, these signs have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life that is eternal life in his name. So the Bible is kind of the fixer of everything. Say, for example, someone did not know Jesus, and they become concerned about that. What is the answer for that person? Get into the Bible. God will show them the truth, and God will bring them to Christ. What if somebody is weak in their faith? Get into the Bible. God will show them precious promises, and God will build them up in the truth. Like, whatever the problem is, the Bible will fix it. Is somebody dying and they're worried about that? Get into the Bible, and God will grant them peace. So all these wonderful things are in God's holy word. So I want to mention a little bit about the Roman road. I mentioned that already. So the image there is a section of the Roman road that still exists today. So it's amazing, built 2,000 years ago, and yet they built it very well. Not like we build roads today that we have to tear out every 20 years and redo, but look at that, pretty solid after 2,000 years. Roman roads were of several kinds a long time ago, ranging from small roads to broad, long-distance highways built for the purpose of connecting cities, connecting major towns, and connecting military bases. So the Romans, I mean, think about the vast Roman Empire and how large it was and how great it was, and they understood we need to have good roads in order to connect us together, so they built these amazing roads. So that was a long time ago. What about the Roman road in this brochure? Well, it has a particular purpose when we get into the Roman road, so I hope that God will grant us opportunity to use this with others in order to move someone from a state of deception to truth, from a state of deception to repentance, from a state of deception to forgiveness, from a state of deception to living for Jesus Christ. God wants that for everyone. Let's be thankful that God is already working such things in our lives, and may God use us, may God give us the great privilege of sharing his truth with them so that they in turn can be with us forever with our great loving God and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give out the brochure today. We'll get into part of it next week, and then we'll finish it up in 2 weeks, and we'll give it out on that day. But I hope you keep coming back and get the rest of it too. So many important things in the book of Romans. At this time, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for your holy son. Thank you for your work in our lives to make us your holy children. We pray that you would continue to grow us in your truth. And also, we pray that you would continue to grow us in our spiritual concern for others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.